This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
The hepatitis C virus is one of several viruses that can cause inflammation of the liver and involves an initial acute phase of infection that may not be noticeable, because in most cases, people do not feel sick. This phase can last up to 6 months. The virus is slow-acting, and it can take many years from initial infection before any permanent damage to the liver, such as scarring, occurs. To access treatment for hepatitis C, it's easy to visit a GP. But what if you don't have or trust your GP? When it comes to Hep C, it's time to start focusing on the parts of our communities who aren't accessing treatment, and safe injection rooms are a great place to start. Darcy Meehan and Dino Curie find out more.
Stephen McNally is the Deputy CEO at the Pennington Institute, a non-profit organisation that works to identify and respond to substance use problems and their causes. The Institute recently held the Hepatitis C and Needles and Syringe Program seminar that focused on a conversation about what's happening in Australia. The Informer's Dina Curie spoke with Stephen earlier to discuss Hepatitis C and why, despite a 95% success rate, there are still many people with Hepatitis C that are not seeking treatment.
In the past, we have only really offered treatment to people who are no longer injecting. We've offered treatment to people that have been normally they're sort of in their 40s and 50s, and if they did inject it, it was a very, very long time ago. So what's happened over the last 2 years is that we've now, with these new treatments, pretty much treated all those ready and waiting patients, and now we're starting to get to the harder ones. We're getting to the people that are out there in the community. We're getting to the people who are currently injecting. And so it's a new, in many ways, it's new terrain, I guess, for us.
Despite it being new terrain, Australia is actually a world leader when it comes to the treatment of hepatitis C.
Australia is quite unique in that we're offering treatment to everybody. Everybody who has hepatitis C, if you're over 18, you are not only eligible for treatment, but you're encouraged to go on treatment. And in the past, that wasn't the case, because in the past, treatment was so terrible, and that's when the days of interferon treatment. And it was a really hard regime. It took like 12 months. It was a 50% success rate. The side effects were horrendous. And also, there was if you were someone who was currently injecting, the chances are you would not be offered treatment, you would be discouraged, or you just wouldn't even have a conversation with someone about treatment. So times have changed now, and to eliminate hepatitis C, we have to treat everybody, or we have to offer and treat everyone, and that includes the group of people who go to NSPs and the group of people that are currently injecting.
Although there are many Australians who have benefited from the available treatment, there are still many that are hard to reach.
The hard to reach are the people that are still getting infected. There is still some sharing of needles that go on, and we know that that's around 17%. So we know that for all the infections that are happening now, pretty much most of them, there are within this cohort, and we do know that that a lot of people who are injecting have been living with hepatitis C for quite a long time, but they're not those people that have been sitting in the hospitals, in the liver clinics, and the hooked in very nicely within those well-established health systems. They're the ones that don't have much to do with the health system, and often needle and syringe programs can be the only place that they really interact with their service. So that's why we need to acknowledge the importance of needle and syringe programs, and that's the big primary ones that are set up just to do needle and syringe exchange, as well as the secondary ones, which are scattered all over the country. That's the key to having those conversations with the people. I'm making it sound easy, but it's not. We have to not only have the conversation, but then we have to work out how do we get people tested? And if someone turns out to be positive, then how do we get them onto treatment? And so what is the pathway? And that sounds simple, but it's a challenging process that you want to make it as simple as possible. You want to make those initial tests to determine whether someone does have hepatitis C. And once you've established that, then it's offering them up treatment, which we are simplifying the models, but it's a very different model to what existed, I guess, within the old days or even a year or 18 months ago within tertiary settings, because the patient was sitting there eager, waiting for the treatment, and that's not the case now. Because in the past, we haven't really wanted to have conversations with needle and syringe program clients around hepatitis C. So, and now we're popping up and saying, "Hey, we do want to talk to you about this." So it's a new conversation, and the workforce is not necessarily prepared for that conversation as well. So there's training that needs to go on with the workforce. There are still challenges.
The stigma around hepatitis also plays a role, sometimes causing those who'd benefit most not to seek treatment.
We haven't solved the stigma, the discrimination that still is there, and we acknowledge that. And that's a challenge too within these settings, because some of these community health settings, you don't want to say, "Hey, do you have hepatitis C? Have you thought about treatment?" You have to find you have to do it in a very sensitive way. And some of these needle and syringe programs, they're very public in the way that they're laid out. So they're not very conducive to raising those conversations. And that's the challenge there, is because there is stigma associated with that. So it is an ongoing issue, an important one that needs to, continually be confronted and dealt with, And that's through training, raising awareness. It's a lot of different avenues.
The stigma may only be lessened with further conversation around hepatitis C, conversations like those from the Pennington Institute seminar that helped us to better understand those with the virus and the best ways to treat them.
The seminar, there was about 50 people or so there. It was the alcohol drug sector and the NSP sector. So we've got workers from a range of organisations, not just needle and syringe program workers, but there were social workers and alcohol and drug workers. So they were people that do come in contact with people who currently inject. We had people talking from a research perspective and showing what some recent modelling is happening around, introducing new models or looking at new models that might make the steps a lot easier. We had people that were presenting that work in a needle and syringe program. We had an integrated nurse who was actually one of the key workforce in offering up treatment, as well as a nurse practitioner. The idea now is that you don't need a specialist, as I said earlier, you don't need a specialist to prescribe, and you don't always need a GP, that there are some nurse practitioners too that are skilled up that can do this, that offer up the treatment. So hearing from different perspectives. And also someone from Hepatitis Victoria who was talking about their programs, the training programs that they do. And then we also talked about the training that we have been doing here at Pennington Institute, which received funding from the Northwest Melbourne Primary Health Network to do some training with NSP workers around the treatment. And acknowledging that we can do all this training, but if the environment is not an enabling environment that supports this, it's always going to be difficult. You can sort of train day and night, but if people are not supported in the workforce or that they don't feel as though they've got enough time to do this, so there is resourcing issues around staff being able to have the time and the confidence to talk about hepatitis C, or to at least raise the topic with them. So, you know, it's a whole range of issues, but the important part was that we haven't in the past really had a seminar around the role of NSPs in hepatitis C treatment. I think collectively in this world of hepatitis, we've been caught up in very much a medical model, and it's been a model that's been driven by specialists, and then more recently by GPs, nurses, and we're slowly getting further and further out into the community, and that's what this seminar was about, what's going on the ground and the challenges that people are facing and the frustrations that some people are facing as well, in that we realise that we're not treating enough people and we're not necessarily having those conversations with people yet coming into those needle and syringe programs because we're not really prepared. What do you do with someone if you did have a conversation with them? There's not necessarily a clear pathway of where you can then refer them on to. So, and that's a really important part, that if you are going to engage someone about hepatitis C and they're interested, you have to be able to do something with them. You can't leave them hanging. You know, you do need to offer them up a way to get testing and then treatment. And that's where we're falling down, which we will get there.
Seminars like these are important for many reasons.
It's reminding people of the role of needle and syringe programs. It's reminding even the government of this incredible network of workers that is waiting to play a role in this area. And they'll get there eventually, but we've got some work to do to raise our profile, to remind people of the potential that is sitting there.
Despite all the work that still needs to be done, the future's looking bright for the treatment of hepatitis C.
The goal is to eliminate hepatitis C. Australia is the only country that is this far advanced. There's a lot of countries looking at us to see, are we going to be successful? How are we going about doing this? And you know, we need to pick up the game a bit. The federal government has invested a lot of money in these treatments, and you know, providing a lot of money and putting the treatments, which are becoming better and better, putting these on PBS is only half the equation, or it's a critical part, but there's other parts to the equation that we need to step up.
Darcy and Dean were talking Hep C treatments with Stephen McNally, the Deputy CEO at Pennington Institute, a non-profit organisation that works to identify and respond to substance use problems and their causes.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.